Hey, it's Brad on a Friday afternoon, and we are coming to you with a special bonus episode of Start Here, because not only has former President Trump been indicted by a federal grand jury, becoming the first U.S. president to ever face federal charges, but we are now learning today exactly what the federal government says it's got on him.
The men and women of the United States intelligence community and our armed forces dedicate their lives to protecting our nation and its people. Our laws that protect national defense information are critical to the safety and security of the United States, and they must be enforced.
That is the voice of Jack Smith, who you are hearing for the very first time since he was named special counsel on this case by the Department of Justice. And yesterday afternoon in Miami, Smith decided to unseal this historic indictment and lay out the government's case.
We have one set of laws in this country, and they apply to everyone.
Now remember, on Thursday night, ABC senior reporter Catherine Falders was the first to report what types of charges Trump was facing. There were seven potential areas, she said. Well, yesterday we learned just how many counts of each of these there are.
31 counts of willful retention of national defense information, one count of conspiracy to obstruct justice, one count of withholding a document or a record, one count of corruptly concealing a document or record, one count of concealing a document in a federal investigation, one count of scheme to conceal, one count of false statements and representations, two counts of false statements and representations.
This is an avalanche of accusations revolving around some of the nation's most sensitive material and the man who used to oversee it all. Let's go through this with ABC's own Catherine Falders. Again, first to break the news about what charges Trump would be facing. Catherine, now you got the charging document itself in front of you. What is the story that it's laying out?
So 38 counts here, but really the story that this tells, Brad, on its face, if we're going to talk about this at a 30,000 foot level, is Trump essentially, when he left the White House, collected all these classified documents, and he collected them in the same way that he would collect newspaper clippings, for example, the way we would just randomly collect items. But these were classified documents. He put them in boxes, he loaded them onto airplanes with him, he shipped them down to Mar-a-Lago and unsecure locations. He was never authorized to even have these in the first place. He should have given these back. He should have left them at the White House. They all needed to be in secure areas. And what we're seeing from this indictment, it's just striking on so many levels. We've reported pieces of this. We've broken news on this. We've thought this news, and it is, and it was, that we've broken was significant. But seeing these photos in this indictment, you see classified documents strewn about. You see boxes of documents, Brad, at Mar-a-Lago in the ballroom where I've been multiple times, where many of our colleagues have been multiple times. You can just walk on by and the boxes are sitting there. Mm. The indictment lays out in detail these boxes being moved from one room to the other. You see them on the ground. You see some aides saying, "Oh, I just found these documents on the ground." So what was clear from this is that they were being kept everywhere in unsecure locations at Mar-a-Lago. By the way, with multiple entrances in some aspects that Jack Smith describes in this indictment, that you could get to these documents with multiple various different entrances to a certain room. There's pictures of stacks and stacks of them. So again, this is just a piece of it. But then this leads into, Brad, we have this idea of Trump bringing the documents with him from the White House to Mar-a-Lago. They're unsecure. They're strewn all about in various different areas. And they're being moved from room to room by various different aides. But then we get to this allegation of Trump personally obstructing the efforts of the government to get these documents back. Now, what does this mean? This means that throughout the course of this year's long investigation, the government, federal investigators, learned that documents were missing. They went and looked for them and they weren't there. Where would they be? Well, they checked with Donald Trump. It turned out that he had some of these records. He initially gave 15 boxes back to the National Archives, which houses presidential records, but they weren't all there. So the government tried over the course of months. They tried to get these documents back. They ultimately issued a subpoena for the documents when they realized Trump wouldn't give them back. And the indictment lays out in just such great detail how they allege Trump obstructed the effort to return them.
So, like, allegedly, slow walking giving any documents back in the first place, and then apparently even holding on to some and then slow walking, giving those back.
Exactly. And what's so remarkable about this is what Trump was publicly saying during all of this happening behind the scenes is he says, I've been totally transparent. I've given everything back. But what it's turned out to be, and a little bit of what we reported at the time, was that the government had evidence that showed that that wasn't true, that still documents were at Mar-a-Lago, maybe various other locations that they knew Trump had not returned, despite him saying that he had given them back. Brad, he even certified in a statement, his lawyers did, that all of the documents had been returned. So what I think is the most striking point about this indictment, Brad, I think we'll be talking about this for the coming days, is yes, he's directing his aides to move boxes, but he's not only hiding information in documents from his lawyers. Jack Smith is alleging here that he's directing his lawyers to lie about the documents. He says there's this quote in here, it's remarkable, in the indictment. Wouldn't it be better if we told them we just don't have anything here? Them being the government. Wouldn't it be better if we told them we just don't have anything here? This is a quote from one of the lawyers in the indictment that Trump was saying, essentially, asking if he didn't, asking that he didn't have to respond, that he didn't have to hand over the documents to the government that he knew he had in his possession.
Wow, unbelievable. And so, by the way, Catherine, does it specify what types of documents we're even talking? Like, did they go into detail? I know they're classified documents, but I mean, what do they say about them?
They're classified, right, as you say. So it's not every single detail of them, but they do in a way. We saw some of the details of it before, but for example, we know that some of these documents concerned White House intelligence briefings related to foreign countries, the nuclear capabilities of foreign countries, a lot of military documents, if you will. And the documents listed here are the 31 counts that this indictment goes on to list.
Catherine, you guys also revealed this week, because one of the questions is going to be like, how do you know this just wasn't a simple mistake from the president? How do you know these boxes weren't just packed by somebody else? How do you know that they're even important? Apparently, there's audio recordings of Trump admitting that he was holding on to stuff that he knew he wasn't supposed to have, right?
It's pretty remarkable. We've learned that Jack Smith has this one particular audio recording, which is from July of 2021. So a ways back, before there were any subpoenas, before we really knew about any investigation. But this audio recording is striking, Brad. It essentially has the former president on tape. He's saying that he has this military document, and he's essentially acknowledging that he knows he shouldn't have it. On this recording, Trump is essentially saying that, you know, he could declassify documents before, now he can't, he's not really allowed to have them. So this will be a portion of the evidence that is presented in court. These are Trump's words. They're on tape. It's an acknowledgement of knowing that he has something he shouldn't have. And it goes straight to the heart of the intent, the motive associated with his handling of classified documents.
Does anywhere in the indictment, Catherine, I couldn't find it as I'm reading through, does it say why? Does it posit why the former president would do any of that? Why he was holding on to these particular documents for so, so long?
And this is the question. Why? Where's the motive? Why was he doing this? And I think this part, Brad, goes to the heart of who Donald Trump really is as a person, essentially. He likes to say that he has things. He wants to have them because he thinks they're his. This is what we've heard in court a lot from his lawyers when they were arguing to have the documents. There wasn't really a reason, just that he wanted to keep them. He wanted to bring them with them. They were memorabilia, if you will. So that is what is going to be fascinating as this plays out in court, in open court. What is the defense going forward here? What do his lawyers say about why he thought that he needed to have these?
Hey, one last question, because I know, by the way, you're on vacation this week and you were not expecting to be doing all this, but here's, you know, the story that you've been covering so up close for the last year of your life. Looking forward, the judge that's been now assigned to this case has apparently been selected and apparently is someone who's already generated headlines on this case before. How will that shape things going forward?
This will be interesting, and it could end up being insignificant if, for example, they have a lottery system where a judge is picked. But right now, the judge who is overseeing it, Brad, and you remember probably talking about her a lot, it was Judge Aileen Cannon because of the special master. She was ultimately the one that decided to appoint a special master to review the documents in this case months ago. This ultimately got thrown out by the circuit court, who essentially slammed her ruling. But look, her assignment to this case is pretty remarkable. And if it holds, it adds this level, just this unprecedented wrinkle, frankly, to this case that involves these charges of a first former president. This is fascinating because she's a Trump-appointed judge. So this means that if Trump is ultimately convicted, this judge, appointed by Trump, would be responsible for determining his sentence.
Well, and even in this appearance, you could almost see Jack Smith sort of playing out the very, very beginnings of this trial, reminding everyone in the country that Donald Trump is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court beyond a reasonable doubt. But then almost pre-budding what you're sure the arguments could be, that this is all some sort of government witch hunt against him, that this is the Biden administration that somehow doesn't like him, even though special counsel Jack Smith was appointed as sort of an outsider to come in here. And Smith quotes Trump himself several times in these indictment documents. In fact, he quotes Trump in 2016 saying this on the campaign trail.
In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning the protection of classified information. No one will be above the law.
And so if Trump's campaign rested on chance of lock her up, speaking about Hillary Clinton, well, now prosecutors, federal prosecutors say he brazenly broke some of those most foundational national security laws that he claimed to hold so dear. And if Trump's convicted, it's he who could be locked up. Absolutely monumental case here. Catherine Falders, thank you so much.
Thanks, Brad.
That'll do it for us today with this special edition, this bonus episode of Start Here. We will have all the analysis on Monday morning as this continues to percolate. And again, Trump due for his court appearance on Tuesday afternoon in Miami. I'm Brad Milkey. I'll see you next week.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table.
What is happening here?
It's just beautiful chaos.
Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view.
To be honest, I was thinking about asking him for a foot massage, and then I just froze.
This is the best gig on TV.
And you know, anything can happen.
That is what we do here.
I'm not going to lie, the chair's a little small for my behind.
The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.